Hoopball Podcast listeners, are you a fantasy expert and want to write or podcast for Hoopball? Do you have aspirations of covering a team? Are you a master of sales and want to earn some cash on the phones? Well, we've got good news. Hoopball's recruiting. If you think you have what it takes, hit us up at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or by emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com. Again, that's at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com.
The following is a Hoopball presentation.
Hoopballers! Welcome back to another edition of Today in Sports Betting. Well, I'm just going to get off here and say it real quick. I'm excited for today. It's been a long time coming. We'll get to that. But, you know, this is Devin Ellington at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a Hoopball presentation. Hoop-ball.com for all your fantasy basketball needs, best bet write-ups, the layup line, articles galore, premium subscriptions. You know, it's going to be a quick off-season, so get your news and your data quick. Before you know it, we're going to have basketball again. Hoop-ball.com, at Hoopball Gaming on Twitter, at Hoopball Tweets. I'm just going to do it. Josh, how you doing? We got Josh Millman back in the house, guys. At Josh Millman on Twitter. I'm excited. Josh, how are you doing,
Dude, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to be back. I feel like I helped bring the show with you and Ira to the fold. I've seen you two just keep on killing it. I'm glad that you carried the torch of the intro all the way through. But let's be real here.
The Godfather's in the house.
You gotta get back into it. Get yourself Hoopballers!
Oh, there it is.
Really get the voice going. Okay. Like, you know, there you go.
All right.
See? I needed to come back. Make sure that my two proteges are doing this the right way.
Yeah. My problem is I'm trying to figure out how to cut that Midwestern draw out of it, because it kind of just sounds a little goofy towards the Hoopballer. Kind of like a howl.
Hoopballers.
Yeah, peanut butter or something.
No. Like, you've got, like, come spend some time on the East Coast. Yeah. You know, have a little bit of, you know, good New York style pizza or something. Like, you'll get that, you know, that raspy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hoopballers going there it is. No time.
Oh, I could listen to that a few, like, just on repeat. Just a track on Spotify. Well, without further ado, guys, you know, our sponsor is Manscaped. Lawnmower 3.0 just came out. Waterproof, fully electric technology. Because as Ira has pointed out in the past, where else are you going to do it but the shower? I mean, hey, I'm not going to get in your business, but it works. It works. It's fully waterproof. And this thing is bad to the bone. Use HOOPBALL20 for the promo code. That's HOOPBALL20. You'll get 20% off free shipping on your lawnmower 3.0. Let them know that the guys at Hoopball sent you. Take care of yourself. Get your lawn mowed. You'll love it. You'll just love it. That's the only way to put it. I love mine. So
I have one too. We are two hairy beasts.
Yes. I mean, it tames, it grooms, it maintains, it does everything. You know, I don't touch up very often, but when I do, it's an easy process. Thanks
very
to the
important.
Lawnmower. Josh, let's talk about these two NBA games first, and talk about, you know, we were talking off camera, pretty heavy numbers for the favorites tonight, but starting with Milwaukee and the Heat, and boy, the Heat just, it seems like they got Milwaukee's number. Their depth is outplaying the Milwaukee Bucks depth, and right now the Bucks are -5.5, over under 220. Or I'm sorry, 223. What say ye about this?
What say me?
Yeah.
I just, on the surface of it, Milwaukee's due for a win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not, the way that Miami has been able to defend them, I just can't see a scenario where I'm laying 5.5 for Milwaukee. So if they do win, they're going to have to earn it. And so my initial inclination is to say, you know, take the points. Miami, if Milwaukee wins, it's going to be in close fashion. I do think that they will win, but I do not think that they can do it by 6 or greater. Leaning Heat here.
Yeah. No, 5.5 is a lot of points for the Heat. And if I recall, game one, they got 5.5 or 6 points, and they ended up winning that game by what I think it was double digits, I believe. I'm leaning towards the
over. 11.
Yeah, they won by 11. I'm leaning towards the over 223. We're seeing some short steam right off the, you know, opening number 222.5. So it's already moved that hook. You know, one thing I'm taking into account on that is the fact that Kelly Olynyk and Iguodala is both ruled questionable. So when they get ruled in or out, you know, that's going to affect the number. But my main prognostic belief on why this is going to work is the fact that Sean Corbin, Scott Foster, and David Guthrie are the referees tonight.
Oh, that's a good little take right there.
They all have favorable records to the over. So,
oh, very good take. I like that angle.
So,
I did not think of that. That's why they pay you the big bucks, sir.
Well, come
on. That. I know. But no, that's smart. I mean, look, at the same time, look, they played to a 230 two games ago, and even the first game they played to it was only 219, but still. Yeah. I'm inclined to lean over on that as well.
It's just, you know, it seems like Milwaukee's having a hard time either closing out the three-point line with Miami in the sense that they don't get there quick enough. And then if they do, they're just getting blown right by the wing players and the guards of Miami. Another prop, and this is due to Joe Osborne over at Oddshark. I saw a tweet of his this morning that kind of inspired me. But the Goran Dragic point total of 20.5, taking the over on that, he's gone over both games of that number, and he's actually taken the most shots for the Heat right now.
Yeah, which is wild. He's having some series right now.
Yes, he is.
I mean, I know that, like, I don't know if, like, Bledsoe must be less than 100%.
He's got to be, because he's normally a pretty decent defender.
Yeah. Right. I know that he missed game one. But, you know, something just isn't right there. You know, like, I don't – like, Goran Dragic is not a bad player, but he shouldn't be, like, just the be-all, end-all on this team right now. But he's had a great series.
Playoff Dragic.
Yeah, playoff Dragic, I guess, you know. But, look, again, like you said, it's not just him. It's just – it's this entire team. The seven guys in double-digit scoring yesterday against a team that was supposed to be – you know, the best defensive team.
Creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme in terms of defense. And they're good. Yeah, like you said, their guards are just beating them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and it's exposed that, like, you know, just they're not getting Giannis. They're not getting Lopez out in the perimeter. They're getting shots, like, at will.
And Adebayo's doing good. But it's like, you know, Spoelstra knows that he's not needing to put those extra miles in
he only took
on his
shots. There's no need for it. Yeah.
He's doing what he needs to do on the defensive end. And, they're going to need him later in the playoffs, I think, depending on matchup.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. So moving on, let's talk about Houston and the Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers. Opened at 6.5, plus 6.5 for Houston. It's gone down the hook to the 6, a full 2 possessions, key number. Over under 225, it opened at 226. So we're seeing steam the other way. And I actually, at first eyeball's glance, I actually kind of like the under in this, but I'll let you kind of give your take on the two teams here.
Well, my take is simply the Rockets were just in a dogfight.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers are probably as rested as they can be.
Right.
And I just don't think that the Rockets have a single person that will be able to D up on Anthony Davis.
Right.
And, you know, so my my inclination is just to say, you know what, I'm happy to lay the six.
Yeah.
And call it a day, just because I think the Lakers are just a different beast than the OKC Thunder. And if the guys on Houston, Covington, Harden, were just letting, you know, guys like Chris Paul get into the lane at will, or SGA, what do you think is going to happen with LeBron James?
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of penetrate and dish.
I think that this, you know, look, granted, the Lakers guards, your Danny Greens, your mm-hmm. your KCPs and Caruso, they're going to need to knock down shots. That's right. For sure. And that can be a dicey proposition. But I just think that, you know, the Lakers are rested, you know, getting some of their, you know, some of the early rust off of them in that Portland series, I think really helped matters. And I actually think that this can be a double digit Lakers win.
And a huge thing here, I'd be remiss if I didn't point it out. Rajon Rondo is probable.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's big.
Bet percentage right now, 62% on the Lakers, but the money percentage is only 53%. So maybe some sharp money balancing out that money percentage market. Like I said, I got a slight lean to the under. Do you think that you're going to see maybe some folks rushing to the six number for the Rockets? So if you're a Lakers better and you're thinking, hey, I like the Lakers, do you jump on the six now, or do you wait to see if there's a flock of Rockets bettors?
No, I don't know that there would be. I just think this is
also – or if it would
also
make a big difference.
Yeah, I don't think it'll make a big difference. I also just think that, you know, even still, you're going to get probably a lot of, like, just Rockets hater and sure. Laker lover money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to potentially tilt that even further.
Yeah.
So I just think you're, you know, this is, you know, I feel like a lot of the sentiment, at least from what I've seen on Twitter, is just like how much hatred the Rockets have gotten.
Right.
And so I just, you know, I think that just that perception is going to help keep that number there. I don't see a whole lot more coming in on Houston side.
Sure. And like you said, excuse me, you think it's going to be a double digit game. So, you know, that half point, that full point, you know, it's really not going to make a difference if you're in the belief that you're going to win by double digits.
Yeah.
Well, just to kind of transition, do a half click transition. We're going to stay with the NBA.
Half a click. Yeah.
We're going to go and talk a little bit about one of my favorite all-time point guards getting a head coaching job with the team that you contribute for us with. And you got a beautiful Jason Kidd jersey behind you. So let's talk a little bit about this Knicks transaction. What do you
– this Knicks transaction?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Nets. It's early, kind of.
Yeah, I know.
It's Friday. No. That's it.
It is Friday. It is early. It's all good. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Steve Nash.
Nash.
As the new head coach, the out-of-nowhere head coach for my beloved Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
I love it. Uh-huh. I love it. I know it came out of nowhere, and I know that the team probably, you know, just sacrificed, you know, any type of head coaching experience,
sure,
if you will. You know, guys like, you know, Ty Lue or Mark Jackson. I think Popovich was a pipe dream, but whatever, you know. But I also feel, and even the Jock Vaughn thing, you know, he had a great little resume with the run in the bubble. But really this decision came down to Kevin Durant. And they were not going to make a head coaching decision without his say-so. You do not – and I saw a great, great tweet. It was Greg Ehrenberg.
This.
Like, you know, and – he said, look, the moment you push all your chips in to get these superstars, that is how you, like, you are then basing all of your managerial decisions around those two superstars. That's just the way it goes. Like, you don't just push your chips in and say, okay, we are going to just keep on doing the way we're doing. No, you then have to change your managerial and your managerial system, the who you hire around these two guys, and you have to do it in such a way that is going to appease those guys. Now Greg said it much better than I'm saying it.
Sure.
But you are not hiring Steve Nash without Kevin Durant's blessing.
Right.
Plain and simple. And I think that's really what happened. They obviously worked together a lot during their Golden State days. And I have no issue with Steve. The other thing is that, you know, these guys, Kyrie, KD, these are two of the best to ever lace them up. One is guaranteed to be Hall of Fame. Kyrie, yeah,
still working, you know, on it.
Still working on it. Very close right now.
Very
like
close.
I'm sure, you know, a few more elite years.
Yeah.
Guy's got a title. Like, I'm sure that he will absolutely get consideration.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you need someone of a Hall of Fame caliber, someone who's been there, done that, to really get someone to buy into.
Oh yeah.
Like a guy like a Durant. See, like, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, they won't be like, oh, I'm not going to just listen to coaching.
Sure.
But the amount of respect that a two-time MVP Hall of Famer would bring, especially a guy who practically revolutionized this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he was led by D'Antoni, I think that that's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the head coach experience thing, look, I mean, there are things that, you know, player rotations and substitutions and timeouts and, you know, I think that all falls part of it. But to me, this is all about personalities.
Yeah.
And who is going to mesh best with these personalities. And so I love it. I think it's fantastic.
I think it's good for basketball alone. You know,
agreed.
Just kind of like when Jason Kidd got hired. You know, that was –
yeah.
Well, it didn't really work out. But
hindsight, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, at the time of the hire, it was exciting. You know, it was
–
you know, that fresh point guard out of the league, very smart and savvy, cerebral, that kind of approach. I think what speaks volumes, though, and you touched on it, the Nets retaining Jacques Vaughn. You know, you talk about those little things and whatnots and the ins and outs of coaching, like timeouts and personnel management and knowing, you know, how many fouls your guys have. But, you know, that's good stuff for your head assistant to help you out with.
Sure. Absolutely.
Your assistant was just a head coach for the same organization involved around the same players. So I think what the Brooklyn Nets did is they took a guy that didn't have any head coaching, you know, experience, but they put him in a pretty decent position as
to succeed. You know, retainment. They need guys who, right. They will need guys who, you know, understand the team, understand the system, but also can help. Look, it's no different than any organization. Your head guy needs, you know, people to be able to, you know, do their jobs accordingly. You know,
right.
Some guys on scouting, guys on, you know, defensive matchups, guys on, you know, to keep track of, you know, player development, you know, all these different things. All these guys have their specialties. And I think Jacques Vaughn did an exceptional job. I think he can and should and will be a head coach in this league.
Yeah,
I'm glad that he's still with the team. I'm glad that he did get a raise and that they are, you know, kind of, you know, able to keep him around even though he didn't win the head job. But being that he's still there, I think there's a lot of respect between Vaughn and Sean Marks and the team. I'm just glad that he's still around. So
and it's, you know, good for the good organization thing. That kind of you saw how someone treated someone kind of thing, you know, in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't have been, I mean, I probably could have, but I think overall the Nets handled it very well with their, you know, head coaching.
I think so. I'm truly excited. You and I spoke on Twitter also, just the one X factor is going to be what happens with Caris LeVert.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a huge, huge X factor. Like I said, you know, the hire is made for Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving, you know, do they have the best relationship? Well, I don't know. I'm sure they get along just fine. I'm sure Kyrie Irving is going to listen and respect Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And will learn from Steve Nash. But Kyrie Irving is one of the best offensive players on the planet. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
In any system. And they're going to play a nice up-paced system under Steve Nash. So regardless of the fact, I have no issues with – with KD and Kyrie, but Caris LeVert and how he fits in with those two is probably going to be Steve Nash's greatest challenge.
Yeah.
And because Caris LeVert is not going to get as many shots as he did in the bubble.
Right.
He's not going to average 26, 6, and 6. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
So how do you keep him involved and continue to get him to make the strides that he has been making so that he can exploit defenses if someone's over, if especially if like defenses are constantly focused on KD, Kyrie, sure, which they're going to have to be, obviously. Yep. So how do you get him in mismatches? How do you get him to maintain his confidence from three and getting to the hoop, so on and so forth? Yep. So that's going to be his biggest challenge to me.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how it all folds out. Like I said, we have a short off season, so it's going to be awesome to kind of just roll right back into the thick of NBA. It honestly, I think the beginning of the season is just going to feel more like playoff basketball again, because they were just doing it.
They were
It's the competitiveness is all still going to be, it's all things said and done. I think this new timeline of which sports might be redefined on, it could be good. It could be good. I don't want to jinx anything.
We'll say, yeah, it's a lot of X factors involved in all of this. That's
X, sure. Y, and Z factors for sure. But let's transition to a bigger chunk of the day. I am deep into the MLB right now. Sitting over 500 by a few picks. I track everything over on the Action Network and on Tally site now. It's a new affiliate of us here at Hootball. I'm gonna just do it real expeditedly, because we have football to talk about and I'm excited about that. Not to mention there's five doubleheaders today, five different sets of doubleheaders, and I don't like betting on these seven inning games because they're just so weird and I don't have a lot of data on them. So call it a cop out, don't call it a comeback, whatever you want to do. But I will start with the Yankees and the Orioles. They're the 4:05 game. Like I said, I'm bypassing all the doubleheaders. Sorry, Hootballers. If you want, yell at me on Twitter or just get some thoughts in-game with me later at DALE007 or at Hootball Gaming. Or if you want, you can complain to Josh, too, at Josh Millman. Just be like, that guy sucks.
Actually, yeah, you know what you should do, people, is complain to Ira, because he's not here. And that's a cop-out right there. Complain to Ira. If we screw up, it's Ira's fault. Yeah.
No, he's actually got a really good read. You know, he had to go to Vegas to get in that super contest.
Kidding. Good for him. Book.
Yeah, yeah. You can only do it in person. So.
He's the man. I miss Ira. I miss you, buddy.
Yeah. Shout out to Ira. Ira's here with us. All right, guys. So I said Yankees-Orioles, but that is a part of one of the doubleheader monster slates here. So let me skip forward. Marlins-Rays, you got Lopez going against Fleming. Fleming is 2-0. He made his debut a couple starts ago with the Rays. 1.74 ERA. This is scheduled for a 5:40 start time. At first glance, I was looking at the under in this because you got quality pitching and two of the better defensive teams in the MLB right now. Miami's sitting at 500. Tampa Bay's 26-12, so both teams are winning. There's some short value of +110 for Miami on the money line, but I think the better value is going to be the better team winning, and that's Tampa Bay -128 on the money line. Over-under set at 8. I'm looking at a 4-1 Rays win, so give me the under as a, you know, 6 beers in lean. Under 8, so... I'm just going to pick a couple more of these baseball
six
games.
Beers in.
6 beers in, you know, not that seventh, not full tilt.
No. The seventh's overboard.
We're not, you know, a case in, and the 6 beers are tall boys, just so we know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
All right. Here's another fun one. Big names on the mound. So people are going to probably flock to the under. But, you know, I'm digging the over here. Philadelphia and the Mets are going against each other in a divisional matchup. The over-under is 10 right now. Arrieta's on the mound, as well as Rick Porcello. Both pitchers are featuring a 6.0 ERA, at least. Taking the first 5 over, full game over 10. And Philadelphia has one of the worst bullpens in the MLB, so maybe New York Mets team total over if it's 5 or less. Milwaukee, Cleveland. Let's bypass that one. I've got no interest in that, guys. If you do, tweet me something. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. I think we got a pretty good chance at a really close game here. Trevor Bauer's on the mound, so he's going to strike out at least 10 guys. Pittsburgh's one of the most strikeout-prone teams in the majors. Maybe Pittsburgh team total under as a slight lean here at first glance. Other than that, no true opinion. Maybe a prop bet on Bauer strikeouts if it's at 9. I would like the over on that. Boston and Toronto. Toronto is red hot right now. They're a minus 138 favorite on the money line. They're sending out Ross Stripling. He's making his major league or his Toronto debut coming over from the Dodgers. So I usually like to fade games that have guys making their debuts just because it can get a little dicey. Chicago White Sox, Kansas City Royals. Just give me the White Sox to cover the spread because they're the best spread team in the majors. Minus 1.5 at minus 110. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm gonna roll with that. That's gonna be the last baseball game I cover. If the listeners, you guys, gals, want me to do some more baseball stuff and get some general opinions, you know where to find us. But right now, we're going to talk football because football is king and it is freaking back, Josh. I watched college football.
Football.
I watched college football. Granted, it was Central Arkansas and University of Alabama, Birmingham, but I watched 4 hours at least of football last night. Went 2-1 on the night.
And you were king of the mid-majors. So
it's mid-major Friday.
It is mid-major Friday. So any non-Power 5 conference football, you are the man. There are no questions asked. You are the man. Everyone listen to Devin. You uncover everything when it comes to non-top 25 ranked football teams and basketball teams.
I think maybe more so basketball, but it's just so much fun. Yeah. Just real briefly, because I know you're more of a professional guy, but here's one. Stephen F. Austin and UTEP. They're taking each other on tomorrow, Saturday at 8 p.m. I'm looking at the under of 54.5 because there's going to be tons of wind blowing down in El Paso. I actually used to live down there, and it's rough. But just terrible offenses, terrible teams, bad weather, wind. Give me the under 54.5. Memphis, they're playing tomorrow at 7 p.m. on ESPN. I'm going to roll with Memphis minus 19 against Arkansas State, the Red Wolves. It opened at 14.5, so the steam is definitely rising. But I look for Memphis to probably win by 20. They'll probably score at least 40 points themselves. And I don't think Arkansas State's offense can click just, you know, at a half level of what Memphis's can. They're returning a lot of guys. So they did lose Antonio Gibson, which kind of stinks.
That's a big deal. Good deal for fantasy, though.
Good, yes. I was, but you know, not that we're a fantasy show, but Adrian Peterson was just released and
big deal.
Darius Geis and Antonio Gibson. Man,
it is Antonio Gibson's backfield, people.
Remember that name, guys.
Pay up. Yeah.
Let's talk NFL then, since we're kind of making that unplanned segue. I want to talk some divisional futures real quick and just get your opinion because I'm eyeballing a couple.
You do divisions. I want to do some players because that's how we tie in some of the fantasy angles of it.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. All right, NFC East. I started looking at this a while ago, and I already put my bet in before the COVID stuff, everything. But I actually already picked the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 200 to win the East. It's down to plus 130. The reason why, they have the most continuity of all the teams, the most retainment between the staff, as many of the players as possible. Now, Dallas did upgrade significantly. Don't get me wrong. Everson Griffin most recently. But I think, again, in the shortened offseason, that continuity, the systems in place, just the familiarity, being able to get your wheels on the ground quicker with more traction, I think that's going to be a little bit more important. New coach, but maybe still the same Cowboys because of Jerry Jones. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I like the bet just from a value standpoint, but I don't see a scenario in which Dallas isn't winning the East.
Sure. And they are minus 125 as a favorite.
Yeah, it's just – yeah, it's garbage value. It's just – I hear you. My biggest issue with the Eagles right now is that they are very, very banged up to enter the season.
Depleted. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's not an ideal scenario for them right now. Just Miles Sanders is – you know, has been dealing with a hamstring injury all through camp. They lost two of their offensive line starters for the year.
Yeah.
Not just like for the first few weeks. They're gone. Two of their five starters on the offensive line are out. And that was a good offensive line. Now they're kind of like –
Jason Peters?
Jason Peters is now swinging back to left tackle.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
It was Dillard and I forget who the other one. Their guard, and I'm sorry I'm blanking on his name, folks. But two of their five starters, Lane Johnson, Kelsey, and Peters are still there, which is good because that's their anchors. But their other two starters, you know, both also good players in their own rights, you know, are done for the year. So that's a bit of a line in flux.
Yeah.
And I mean, their wide receivers are a disaster. Jalen Reagor is going to miss the first several weeks. Alshon Jeffrey's not healthy, you know, and probably won't be for quite some time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to like butcher your bet here, buddy, but that's why I put it out there. No. I hear what you're saying. It's just, sure. I don't, it's, they may struggle very early.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I just something I can't get behind. I mean, I get the consistency aspect of it, but you know, McCarthy's been there, done that. They'll be all right. That's a veteran head coach. That Dallas offense is loaded.
Yeah.
I just don't see a scenario in which, you know, Dallas is relinquishing that title.
Sure. Staying in the NFC, but moving up a little more north. Mm-hmm. So this one intrigued me because every team in this division, all four teams have plus odds. So the Green Bay Packers plus 180, Minnesota Vikings plus 170, Chicago Bears plus 375, and the Detroit Lions plus 450. It's got to be the Packers at plus 180, right?
I would lean that way. I'm a Vikings guy, so, you know, but I am a Vikings guy. I mean, the Giants are my team, but I am a Vikings guy. Like I do love the Vikings.
Sure.
But it's, you got to lean that way. I just think that it's still Rodgers' division to lose. You know, there was a lot of, you know, just talk just now, they didn't get him another wide receiver, and you know they drafted his successor. There's some smoke. I don't know that there's a whole lot of fire, and when it comes down to it, you know, he's still far and away the best quarterback in that division. You know, and I like Matt Stafford, but like I just don't love the Detroit Lions as an organization. But that's still Aaron Rodgers' division to lose, in my opinion. So I would take the value there. I'm with you on that.
Sure. Just one AFC one, just, you know, because I want to see what you think about it. Obviously, the AFC West is we know who's going to win that one probably. But another division where, you know, all four teams are at plus odds, you know, you got the AFC South, the Colts at plus 120, Titans plus 150, Texans plus 350, and the Jaguars plus 2,500. Houston plus 350. I mean, Nuke's gone. They lost a couple other guys. But you still got Deshaun Watson. Sure, like, you know, Indianapolis has the best offensive line in football and a stout defense in Phillip Rivers, but I don't know, plus 350, that's kind of – you got one of the most exciting young football players of, you know, this generation.
Right.
Quarterback, and
he's easily the best quarterback in that division.
Right,
we're going by that sentiment.
Sure.
I get the loss of Nuke Hopkins, but – that most of that team is coming back intact.
Right.
you know, yeah. And that's, look, say what you want about Bill O'Brien, the general manager, but he has his team pretty playoff ready every season. I mean, yeah. Granted, they don't really do much with it.
Yeah,
but
they get there.
You can pretty much lock them in for 9-10 wins. Like, yeah. That's just the way it goes. So, you know, plus 350, they would need to be able to just hang maybe like a 3-1 record on Indy and Tennessee.
Yeah.
And can they do that? I think they can.
Absolutely. I think Tennessee's due for some regression.
Yeah.
So
Indy's a good team. Indy's a very, very good team. And I think they're well built on both sides of the football. They're going to be a tough out, but do I think that if Deshaun Watson makes plays that, yeah, he's going to win them games. I legitimately think Watson is an MVP candidate this year.
You know, if it comes down to quarterback, which most debates in sports are with football, you know, mm-hmm. I think Deshaun Watson's going to make more plays than Phillip Rivers does this year to win games, you know, in the crunch time or,
yeah, absolutely.
I'd rather have Deshaun Watson lead me down the field than an aging Phillip Rivers. Maybe if it was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Phillip Rivers, sure. But yeah. This guy throwing it completely from the collarbone, no.
No, not at all. Yeah,
it's like a shot.
I still don't know how he gets away with that.
I don't.
With that throwing motion. He's done it for what, 15, 16 years? I don't understand it.
You know, before sports came back, I was rewatching the NC State college football game. They were playing Charlie Whitehurst and the Clemson Tigers, and you know, back in like 2000 something, one, two,
2000 something.
He was, yeah, same thing, just completely like forehand, like shot put. Toss throwing, but it's accurate.
Works, man.
He's got it
works.
Accuracy percentage. Well, since we're dissecting players now, man, we're on a roll with these accidental.
We're on a roll. I love this. Yeah. So
not planned at all.
No, not planned, but I liked it. But this is a good segue because what I wanted to do and what I proposed coming back on for is just talking about player futures and how do we tie in the fantasy side of things to this. Well, there's good player futures, so. So Dan and I used to do this, and Dan used to do this, I believe, with Neil on the NBA side. But, like, if you're going into the season and say you have $10 in your pocket, mm-hmm. you know, how would you distribute those $10 to player features on things like most regular season passing yards? Mm. And this is where the fantasy kind of meets the betting side of things. So
sure.
Starting with passing yards, I got to throw – you know, I got to throw a few bucks on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, okay.
At 3,300.
3,300.
Because I think everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just – Houston's not going to stop throwing the ball just because they lost Hopkins, and they still have some really good weapons at wide receiver. Brandon Cooks, like, people just assume that, like, oh, that guy's washed. No, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver for several years.
Kiki Coutee's still developing.
Oh, Kiki Coutee's still developing. Is he still on the team?
I think.
I thought. I heard he was going to be on the. That wasn't even the guy I was going to bring up. The guy that I was going to bring up is the guy that I love. Is Will Fuller.
He's going to blossom.
He could blossom, and he is a big play threat every time they look his way. Mm-hmm. I think that there's plenty of opportunity for Watson to just kind of make a lot of plays with these guys.
Right.
And. You know, I just don't think that it's a doomsday scenario for Houston just because they lost Hopkins. It means that he won't necessarily have to – and Hopkins is great, but he won't need to force 150, 160 targets his way. He can spread the ball out more. There's opportunity for a guy like Jordan Akins to kind of step in that tight end. They've been talking big about him.
Yeah.
I want to throw a few bucks on Deshaun Watson at most regular season passing yards. I will throw – $1 at the chalk, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Fine. And I'll throw in a dollar, Tom Brady and Dak Prescott as well.
I'll
cover off my chalk with those three. And then the last few dollars, I'm going to go at a guy who's plus 10,000. Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, yeah. Looky there. Minshew Magic.
Okay. Minshew Magic, just because – the Jaguars are going to be bad. We all know that they are going to be bad.
They're going to have to throw.
They are going to have to throw. They're going to have to throw a lot. And they just cut Leonard Fournette.
Raquel Armstead, baby.
Raquel Armstead. They are not going to be running the ball 40 times a game. It's just not happening.
No.
This is a team designed to tank, and this is going to be a team that says, okay, Gardner, we're going to tank on your arm. And so they're not going to build marketing programs around this guy and not give him the opportunity to throw the ball 50, 60 times a game, especially when they are in negative situations.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I am definitely throwing a couple bucks. DJ Chark, baby. And that's, and again, that's not a – it is a low-key, not a terrible wide receiving core over there. Just they need some help with Dede Westbrook. They drafted Laviska Shenault, like who I think is a dynamic playmaker.
Possession receiver, for sure.
Possession
big body.
But can, like, you know, make plays.
Go vertical.
Happen.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. I just – this team – again, like, they catch a team napping on defense. They think it's a cakewalk. All of a sudden, you're staring at someone's back in the end zone.
Yeah. Like Mr. O'Shaughnessy.
Yep, Mr. O'Shaughnessy. So between my $10, I'm probably throwing $3 at Watson, $3 at Minshew, and then I'll do $1 on Mahomes, $1 on Brady, $2 on Dak Prescott.
There we go. A good $10, you know, breakdown of
my
some
$10 breakdown.
That's a, you know, that sounds like a business model.
It does sound like a business model. I've got some guys that I like on the receiving yards side of things as well, because again, going back to that Houston Texans, well, Will Fuller plus 6,500.
Oh,
the only thing that's stopping him is health.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about a specific – so I took over, I believe it was right at – I think it was 1,100 yards, but it was like 1,080-something for Keenan Allen. What do you think about that? I mean, I know –
1,100 yards for Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
I mean, I
know with Tyrod Taylor in there, it's not – going to be a ultra.
Yeah, it's a little dicey, but I think he can do that.
I mean, he's
going
to get a lot of targets, obviously. Health.
Yeah, huge. I just don't know that this is going to be a very vertical team.
Right.
I know that they can do that. Yeah, I think so. I think that they're going to probably be a lot more of a, you know, clock management, run the ball kind of team.
Yeah.
You know, that defense is really good also, so they might not need to.
Yeah, get some extra possessions out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So I like the bet in and of itself, but yeah, I just don't know that I like the Chargers as a high-scoring team. So I think Keenan Allen's still great, and I think he'll get his. And I think it'll be close, you know.
Yeah. The way I looked at it, you know, if they do go vertical here and there, Mike Williams is that guy for that. Keenan Allen, he's the guy for everything else. You know,
yeah, he's the guy for
obviously
everything.
Hunter Henry, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be in there. But what do you think, you know, with Tyrod Taylor versus, Justin Herbert had a quick brief blank there. You think that bet would probably do better with Justin Herbert under center?
No, I don't think Justin Herbert's good, to be perfectly honest with
fair,
you.
Fair,
you know, fair. I would be really concerned if they rushed him in. And I know that they've been saying, like, at least in beat reports, that they have every intention of starting Taylor throughout the year. And that's the right move.
Right.
Because even if they don't, you know, let's say that they don't really meet expectations, they're still a playoff caliber team.
Yeah.
And especially with that defense. So I just don't see a scenario in which if they're like trending towards even like 8, 9, and 7, that he'll step onto the field. Like they would have to like absolutely submarine the first few games of the season, you know, and look, granted, like there's, you know, their schedule is kind of hit or miss from the outset, but you know, look, I can see, I'm looking at their schedule at Cincinnati, Kansas City. That's no good. Carolina is good at Tampa. That's dicey. At New Orleans, that's dicey too. But then they've got Jets, Miami, Jacksonville, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's a scenario in which, you know, they could go 6-3 into their bye week.
Right.
You know, they're not making a quarterback switch based on that.
Right, right, right. You know, it's got to be very drastic if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to – did you have any other player props?
Did I? That's a great question. No, just I was talking about some of the receiving guys that I like. You know, like I said, our boy DJ Chark plus 5,000. Robert Woods plus 5,000 with Cooks gone there. Yeah. That's great value. I'd throw a few bucks on that. And as far as chalky guys, Devontae Adams. Because he's going to get force fed the ball there. Yeah. And Devontae Parker 2,200 also because you know Fitzmagic's going to just say, "LOL, this is my last year," and they are really banged up at receiver. Yeah. And he was really good last year. So.
He was. He looked. You know, mature in his
He looked the part. He was great. Yeah. He was great. So Fuller Woods, who else did I say? Fuller Woods, I said my chalk was Adams. And Devontae Parker.
Yep. You know, week one is fast upon us, less than a week away. And so with all these NFL bets going on, I want to make sure that the listeners know that they need to go to mybookie.ag, which is our other partnering sponsor with this podcast, and use promo code HOOPBALL to get a 100% deposit bonus match. And then you're also going to get a $10 free MLB bet that you can take, you know, some diagnostics from me and Ira, parlay it, have some fun. But, you know, it's so easy to bet on there. It's so easy to win, and it's so easy to get paid. And that's what my bookie does. They bet, they win, they get paid, they help us out, they help our listeners out. Hoop ball, HOOPBALL. That'll get you that bonus. There's a system I'm following, and it's talking about some underdogs that could possibly win. I want to get your thoughts on one or two of these value games. I know we got to wrap it up here shortly. Chicago plus 138 versus Detroit on the money line. What do you think about that?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. I was thinking about locking it in, but I was waiting to hear, you know, kind of what your thoughts were, but – At first glance,
I actually don't mind that because I would imagine that Chicago's going to come out and start Nick Foles. But I don't necessarily think that it's going to be and I do think that that's the right move. But I also think that, you know, I think we're kind of sleeping on the Bears defense a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not as if, like, they weren't – I just feel like they're not – everyone made Mitch Trubisky out to be the scapegoat there, but I do think Foles will be an upgrade. But I do like them as a whole. Again, that whole division is probably not going to be separated by more than, like, a few games.
Sure, yeah.
So I like that bet. I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. That Chicago Bears defense hasn't gone away. Khalil Mack's still really good. You know, they've got a great supporting
Roquan
cast.
Smith.
I think they're exactly. They'll be all right.
Green Bay plus 122 versus your Vikings.
Oh God, you're gonna
I did that one on purpose.
I know.
I was surprised.
I'm gonna roll with the home team.
Yeah. I mean, I can dig it. I can definitely dig it.
I'm gonna roll the home team. That's not enough value for me to
sure.
You know, home team.
Well, how about some last parting wisdom words from Mr. Josh Millman? What week one game are you eyeballing as maybe like a team total? Or like, are you excited for a certain matchup? Just give us like a week one. Something you're excited for. It could be Vikings football.
I'm just excited for football in general. Yeah. It's going to be a weird game. But I am actually excited for the debut of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh yeah. And the Carolina
Panthers.
Because
you know what? It's like, I love Vegas. I'm thrilled that they actually have pro sports teams. I'm actually kind of upset that they have the Raiders.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, because it's the Raiders.
Uh-huh.
But excuse me. At the same time, in Carolina, having to travel cross country to play the Panthers, new coach, Matt Rhule, new system.
Yep.
I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
That's another guy. Like, yeah. Guys, we're sleeping on Teddy Bridgewater in an up-tempo system. I know everyone's like, oh, we didn't go deep. But that's a
– He's got so much speed around him.
Loaded offense. Loaded. They are +2.5, +125. Over-under is only 47.5.
Yeah.
Neither team has a defense worth a crap. I'm loading up on Carolina and the over on this one.
I like that take a lot. I really like Matt Rhule. You know, obviously out here in Midwestern country, we were
And Joe Brady.
That was, man, pairing those two. Yeah, that's a good call
Unbelievable.
There. Yeah. That is and, you know, Matt Rhule, you know, from his Temple days, just – Speed. It's ridiculous.
Do not sleep on that offense at all.
This could be a really good offense this year. A lot of people are sleeping on it because it's Matt Rhule's first year. And then since we're talking about this game, you know, if you've been under a rock, a pebble, or a medium-sized, you know, sedimentary piece of material, Tyrell Williams is out for the year. So that kind of sucks. I like that kid. That kind of sucks. But
this could be a track meet.
Guys, yes,
like, you know, like 60 Ruggs, points. Like Ruggs may get force fed some targets there.
Ooh, that'll be fun to watch, Ruggs.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Like, it seems like a garbage game on paper, but oh boy, that it could be a fun one.
It's one of my more favorite games on this slate. It's just a unique matchup, to be quite honest. It's not a divisional game, you know, like a lot of folks do with week one. So, yeah. Josh, thanks for coming on again today, man. This was long overdue.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know, you know, we're all kind of hanging in there. It's been weird last few months, 5 months, more so for more people than others. But,
yeah.
You know, this offered a little bit of normality.
Yeah, I know. I don't know that I'll be able to do it on the regular, but it is nice to pop my head in here and there just – Devin, you and I have been killing it. I feel like a proud father who, you know, like we started doing this and we weren't sure, but you guys have just kept the ball going. You've been killing it. You were doing things like, you know, Korean baseball and NASCAR and
get in where you fit in.
Just get in where you fit in. Like, you guys kept it moving. And bro, I love the nice little following that you guys have built. I'm proud of you guys.
Yeah.
Keep on killing it.
Well, I'm proud of the following, like you said. Just another shout out to them, because we wouldn't, you know, be able to do this without them. And it grew exponentially before COVID. And, you know, now we're back. You know, now we're here.
We're back, baby. At Hoopball Gaming, everyone.
Everyone,
make sure you give a follow.
And at Josh Millman. Ladies and gentlemen.
At DALE007.
And at Ira Silver Magic. He's not here today, but I mean, he is very prevalent with us here at Hoopball Gaming. Again, Josh, it was real fun. Another shout out to mybookie.ag. You know, our sponsor. Use Hoopball there. Use Hoopball20 at Manscaped to get your lawnmower 3.0. Those guys will take care of you. Hopefully we do also. And it's all love here, guys. And it was fun. It was fun. Let's have a great weekend. Let's win some money. Again, Josh, thank you so much, buddy.
Take care, everyone.
Yes. Arrivederci.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.